Leader Part 2 is the Program for Infrastructural Development in Africa. That is the priority action plan for the process for the second phase. And we started this transboundary webinar since last week. And I believe that you all have the concept notes. And last week, we, from the draft program, we did the objective, the introduction and of the interpreters, and followed by the, we had a progress on the implementation of the water infrastructure projects in implementing the Sharm el-Sheikh commitments on water and sanitation. And also we had the implementation of the transboundary water in the PIDA sector, experiences, lessons and challenges from the AU NEPAD. And the first was given by the AMCAL Secretariat, that is the African Ministers Council on Water. And the, this was the one from the NEPAD was followed by the African Union AU SAGRAD office on this framework for irrigation development and agricultural water and management in Africa within the PIDA framework. And we went on to the PIDA process, PAP2 process. In short, what we learned from all this presentation is that from the AMCO, I'm just giving a kind of small recap. We learned from the AMCO presentation, that is African Ministers Council on Water, on the Sharm el-Sheikh commitment. We learned about four, seven themes on the monitoring of water and sanitation in Africa. And they also connected it to the COVID, the health issues. And they also told us about the connection, the nexus between energy, agriculture, and industry. And after that, the it was followed by the presentation from AU NEPAD, from Madame Towela, and she gave us the brief on the PIDA process, that is the three phases, 2012 to 2020 for the first phase, and 2021 to 2030 for the second phase, and 2030 to 2040. And they gave us that in PIDA project one, they had 409 projects, 54 in energy, 114 in ICT, 232 in transport, and 9 in water. Maybe I can stop there and you can make a small, Krishna, maybe you can make a small a translation for the French people. Please, as you join in, you are all welcome. Kindly mute your mic. Thank you.
Yes, Krishna. Thank you, Lushula. As a cher collègue francophone, donc comme ma collègue vous a essayé de dire en anglais, la semaine dernière, jeudi dernier, on a eu la session, la première session sur l'eau, où il y a eu des présentations de AMCAO, de Canisius. Ensuite, on a eu la présentation de Aouda Nepad, Dr Towela. On a eu la présentation de l'Union africaine, Dr Murray. Et malheureusement, en fait, ça a pris beaucoup de temps. Et aujourd'hui, ce qu'on va essayer de faire, on va essayer de limiter les présentations à 10 minutes chacune. On a 5 présentations. Et puis, on va donner suffisamment de temps aux questions-réponses. Donc, sans plus tarder, je repasse la main. On va peut-être commencer avec la présentation de... Enfin, déjà avec une introduction de l'Union africaine et puis les présentations. So, over to you, Olushula.
Thank you. And they also told us that currently on the website of PIDA PAP2, that there are about 32 projects with only 4 projects on water. And they stressed that the impact of, that is in the PIDA PAP1, that the low visibility on water was because the regional, at the level, there was no priority of water projects in the at the regional level. And they also stressed the well, we need, and also the lack of financing attractiveness compared to other projects, that is energy, transport, and ICT. And they also stressed that now the regs and the member states should use the pandemic issue of COP19 and health issues, and also the nexus of connection between agriculture, energy, and to ensure that this time around we have enough projects on water, on transboundary water. Now, moving to the presentation from AU SAGRAD on the framework for irrigation development and agricultural water management They spoke on the sustainable agricultural water and the practices on the continent, and also told us about the estimation that it is even estimated that in the year, few years to come, that we will need at more 29% more of the irrigated land, and that currently 80% of the farm producers depend on rain-fed agriculture. He also took us through the four pathways on farmer friendliness, on long-scale irrigation scheme, and also wastewater recovery and reuse, targeting vegetable production and peri-urban users. And then they cautioned the use of this because of the sanitation issues, and also gave us the typology of potentials and benefits of transboundary cooperation. And then they also highlighted education development within the transboundary water infrastructure under the PIDA Part 2 process, and that they encourage member states and RECs to submit transboundary water projects. Thank you. Krishna, I don't want it to be too long so that you can translate this. Thank you.
Yes. En fait, la dernière fois, les points principaux qui sont remontés en fait de la première session, c'est qu'à ce jour, il y a seulement quatre projets sur le secteur de l'eau qui est très, très faible, parce qu'on a au total au moins 55-60 projets. Donc, 4 sur l'eau, ce n'est pas suffisant. Et avec les impacts économiques, la récession mondiale post-COVID, tous les effets sur les impacts et ces effets néfastes sur l'impact économique, la question de l'eau, l'irrigation, le nexus entre l'eau et l'alimentation, la production alimentaire va devenir critique. Donc, c'est très important de rehausser le profil du secteur de l'eau maintenant et de venir en avant avec les projets, car c'est le secteur qui a probablement le plus d'impact sur la pauvreté, le genre et l'agriculture, etc., l'alimentation. Donc, on vous invite à redoubler l'effort pour combler en fait ce déficit dans le projet. On a vu qu'il faudrait au moins, je pense, une quinzaine de projets dans le secteur de l'eau. Donc, il faudrait littéralement tripler le nombre de projets actuellement soumis sur le site. Voilà. Merci.
Thank you, Krishna. So, this is the presentation from AUAP SAVRAG was given by Mr. Dr. Mure Agolahan. And the one from Nepal was given by Dr. Towela, and the one from the AMCO Secretariat, African Ministers Council on Water, was given by Mr. Kish Bawa on behalf of Dr. Kanisus. And so this is Alpha. And then the final presentation was given by Dr. Krishna, and he took us through the PAP 2 process on this, the different criteria, and also on the submission of the project on the website. Thank you. Please, can you help us to interpret that?
Yes, I'm a bit worried about time, Olushula. We are already like half an hour Seven through. Minutes. So very quickly, actually, maybe could we start, since I think Chris Appia also is here. So should we start with the ECOWAS presentation, because we are running late? I fear we will be running late, and we definitely need more time for the questions.
Okay.
So what do you
think? So I've been given the mandate to read the statement.
Yeah, please go on.
I will now quickly read the statement.
Then we can start the ECOWAS presentation. Please go on.
So once again, good morning, everybody. All protocol observed. On behalf of the Director of Rural Economy, Agriculture, and Dr. Goffrey Bayigwa, I would like to welcome you all. You would have loved to be at this webinar, but due to other pressing meeting of the Permanent Representative Committee, he could not join, and I've been delegated to read the speech on his behalf. I now read the speech. It is my delight to welcome you all on behalf of the African Union Commission to the second part of the sectorial webinar on transboundary water infrastructure taking place now. Distinguished delegates, Water is very vital for survival of life, and it has a great impact on human existence that almost all sectors of the economy depend on it. Hence, it is pertinent for socio-economic development on our continent. As we are all aware, water is one of the most precious resources on Earth, and it is of great importance to different competing users. Thereby, it requires joint collaboration of a multi-stakeholders to meet the current and future demand. In 2017, the World Bank Group indicated that globally, 70% of fresh water is used for agriculture. It further stressed that by 2015, feeding a planet of 9 billion people will require an estimated 50% increase in agricultural production and a 50% increase in water withdrawals. Distinguished delegates, Africa is blessed with abundant water resources, and it is home to the world's largest freshwater lakes. Lake Victoria, Lake Tanganyika is the second deepest lake in the world. The Congo Basin and Futajalon Highlands are precious water towers, while Lake Chad is the largest endogenic basin with an area and with terminal lakes and interior drainage basins in the world. Groundwater represents only 15% of Africa's renewable water resources, and about 75% of its population relies on groundwater as major drinking water source. However, Africa experienced remarkable variability in rainfall and adverse impact on climate change. Distinguished delegates, infrastructure plays a key role in economic growth and poverty reduction. The lack of infrastructure would affect productivity and raises production and transaction costs, which hinders growth and the ability of governments to pursue economic and social development policies. In recognition of the importance of water and sanitation for social and economic and environmental development on the continent, the African leaders reaffirmed commitment to promote cooperation and integration among member states with a view to raising the living standard of the population and the well-being of future generations. Similarly, the African leaders therefore adopted the Sharm el-Sheikh commitment on water and sanitation at the July 2008 African Union Summit. And also the African Ministers Council on Water adopted the Etiquini Declaration on Sanitation and the INGOR commitment on sanitation and hygiene. These commitments are all facilitating regional integration on the African continent and would enhance Africa in the prevention of COVID-19 and coronavirus disease. To realize this desired goal, it is essential to develop water infrastructure in the implementation of the African Water Vision 2025. And Africa, where there is an equitable and sustainable use and management of water resources for poverty alleviation, socioeconomic development, regional cooperation, and the environment. In addition, the 18th ordinary session held in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia from 29 to 30 January 2012, the AU Summit adopted the Program for Infrastructure Development in Africa and Institutional Agriculture for Infrastructure Development in Africa to boost infrastructure development on the continent. Development of our water infrastructure would no doubt lead to increase in economic growth with more job creation, improvement of livelihood of the rural populace, and in particular, the youth and the women. Development of the nexus of water, energy, food, and transport is also crucial for Africa to achieve the sustainable development goals in realization of Africa Agenda 2063, the Africa we want. The distinguished delegates, I am glad at the participation of this large representative from the water sector at this webinar today, and would like to urge you all to work together to ensure that transboundary water projects are included in your regional project submission. I would like to conclude by reiterating the commitment of the African Union Commission to continue to engage with all multi-stakeholders to advance water infrastructure development in the continent. I wish you success as I look forward to the fruitful outcomes of this webinar that will influence increased water project submission in the Peter Pap 2 process. I thank you all for your kind attention. Asante sana, obrigada, shukran, merci beaucoup. So thank you so much. This is the presentation from my director, Dr. Godfrey Bayigba, and we would post it on the website of PIDA PAP2. So now we're going to start with the regional economic presentation, and we're going to start with ECOWAS. So I give the floor now to Dr. Alassane from ECOWAS Commission to please make his presentation. You are welcome, please. Alassane.
Good morning, everybody. It's Jerry Alassani. Thank you. Alassane.
Sorry, please.
No, it's my colleague, Janvier Bazoun, who will make that presentation. Thank you. Bazoun, you have the floor.
Can you
Janvier?
I'm here now. Yes.
Yeah, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Donc, I will try to speak in French. I'm better in French because my English is not so. Donc, I will try to do quickly the presentation in French.
Okay, you can please make three slides, and then Dr. Krishna will make the translation of Mr. Chris into English for the English speakers. Please, as you are coming in, everybody, you are welcome. Please kindly mute your mic, and if possible, turn off your video. Also, we would like to inform you all that this is being recorded, so that you know that you are being recorded. Thank you. Please, you have the floor.
Okay. Donc, bonjour tout le monde, et merci pour cette opportunité que vous nous donnez de présenter effectivement ce que nous avons depuis le début au niveau donc de ce projet, de ce programme PIDA. Donc, ma présentation va rapidement s'articuler autour de, donc, j'allais dire quatre ou cinq points. Donc, l'initiative PIDA pour l'Afrique, donc, l'Afrique, et l'initiative des projets qui ont été sélectionnés en Afrique de l'Ouest. Et nous allons donner effectivement des informations sur le projet Numbiel où, effectivement, notre groupe de travail qui est composé donc de la CDAO, de l'autorité du bassin donc de Volta et du GWP avec effectivement la direction des ressources en eau. Nous avons eu des séances de travail et c'est ce projet qui semble aller un peu où nous avons un peu plus d'informations. Et nous allons également donner rapidement des informations sur notre feuille de route issue donc de l'atelier que nous avons eu en avril passé à Lusaka. En Zambie, nous avons dressé une feuille de route où nous avons fait un plaidoyer et où, à l'issue donc, de la semaine PIDA, nous avons adressé une requête donc, à ODA PIDA et pour nous appuyer donc, dans l'étude de faisabilité de ce programme. Donc, rapidement et enfin, donc, quelques perspectives. Donc, je dirais simplement que nous saluons donc, l'initiative PIDA qui offre une opportunité donc, pour le continent africain de mettre en œuvre des projets transfrontaliers dans le domaine de l'eau. Et je dirais simplement que à l'époque, au départ, il y avait 9 projets en Afrique et au niveau de l'Afrique de l'Ouest, nous avions au moins c'était le barrage de Numbiel, de Fomi et de Médène. Et il y avait d'autres projets qui concernaient Gourbézi, Nubian, Sandstone, Aquifer, et également là, au niveau de l'Afrique de l'Ouest également, nous avons l'étude de faisabilité pour l'Aquifer donc, du Sahara. Donc pour la partie ouest africaine, je dirais simplement les projets qui ont retenu un peu notre attention, sur lesquels nous avons eu à travailler un peu, c'est premièrement le barrage de Numbiel. Le barrage de Numbiel qui est également un barrage transfrontalier qui regroupe qui concerne donc le bassin de la Volta, concerne environ 6 pays, le Burkina donc qui ça couvre au moins le l'ABN couvre au moins 6 pays. Et le Numbiel, c'est environ 3 pays, le Burkina, donc le Ghana et également la Côte d'Ivoire. Et donc, mais c'est essentiellement les pays qui partagent beaucoup plus, qui vont profiter beaucoup plus, le Burkina et le Ghana. Nous avons également le barrage de Fomi qui est aussi très important et qui concerne l'autorité du bassin du Niger,
et qui va prendre en compte aussi bien le bassin du Niger et également le programme du massif du Fouda-Djallon, puisque c'est dans cette zone. Et donc, cet aquifère, nous pensons que ce barrage est assez important pour la zone. Et nous avons le troisième projet, qui est l'Unimeden Aquifère System, qui est aussi assez important, où il est important de faire une étude de faisabilité. Et ça concerne le bassin, donc, la Volta et le bassin du Niger. Donc, voilà un peu. Et les institutions qui sont concernées, c'est un peu l'Observatoire du Sahara, l'autorité du bassin de la Volta et l'autorité du bassin du Niger, avec des pays comme le Mali, le Niger, le Nigeria. Donc, ça, c'est un peu, donc voilà un peu les trois projets qui sont assez importants pour que nous avons jusque-là. Et dans la présentation précédente, c'est clair que ces projets ne sont pas pour, vu au regard de l'importance du secteur de l'eau en Afrique de l'Ouest. Et ces trois projets ne sont pas, voilà, il y a des projets qui n'ont pas encore été identifiés, mais à notre niveau, ce sont ces projets-là que, effectivement, qui ont été au départ. Et que nous avons et sur lesquels nous avons travaillé. Et donc, et pour apporter un peu plus d'informations sur donc le bassin donc sous les Moumbiel, et je dirais donc le site du Moumbiel est localisé donc sur le fleuve Mouhoum, à environ 10 km donc au nord, dans une zone qu'on appelle tripoint entre le Ghana, la Côte d'Ivoire et le Burkina Faso. Et c'est un vieux projet et qui effectivement a été donc où il y a eu des conventions depuis les années 70, et il y a des conventions ont été signées qui ont été initiées entre le Ghana et le Burkina Faso en 1972, en 1977. Il y a eu effectivement, en tout cas au niveau de ces deux pays, des approches qui pour la mise en œuvre donc de ce projet. Et pour le contexte spécifique, par exemple du Ghana, c'est clair que pour le Ghana, ce qui les intéresse, c'est l'énergie, et également cette énergie devra donc permettre donc en tout cas d'alimenter donc les questions d'électricité au niveau en rapport avec également le barrage d'Akosombo. Donc, c'est un enjeu stratégique. Au niveau du Burkina également, la question énergétique est aussi là. Et c'est assez important pour la zone. Et depuis, 1983, avec l'avènement de la révolution au Burkina Faso, le président à l'époque, en tout cas, avait mis beaucoup d'espoir. Il avait voulu réaliser ce projet. Mais à plusieurs reprises, il y a eu des difficultés, et nous pensons que avec PIDA, l'espoir est permis pour que véritablement, au niveau donc de ces deux pays, nous arrivions à mettre en place donc ce programme. Nous disons que entre le Burkina et le Ghana, il y a eu des réunions, il y a eu des commissions, et il y a eu également des réunions ministérielles pour échanger sur la question, et nous pensons que bon, et la plupart de ces réunions n'ont pas encore donné fruit, mais nous pensons qu'avec l'appui de PIDA et des partenaires, et nous allons effectivement travailler à atteindre donc les objectifs. Donc c'est un barrage qui va donc profiter aussi bien pour les deux pays, le Burkina et le Ghana, 80% pour le Burkina et 20% pour le Ghana. Et donc, c'est un projet qui est assez important pour la zone et qui va pouvoir desservir, en tout cas, l'impact va être, en tout cas, au niveau de la sous-région entre le Burkina, le Ghana et, j'allais dire, la Côte d'Ivoire. Et donc, voilà rapidement ce que je pouvais dire sur le projet Lumbiel que nous pensons, en tout cas, au niveau donc, de l'autorité du bassin, nous pensons que c'est un important projet, ça aura des impacts considérables en termes d'énergie et également en termes d'activité agro-pastorale, c'est assez important. Et donc, nous pensons, en tout cas, dans le cadre de PIDA, que ce projet également soit retenu. Et PIDA et les autres points comme le barrage de Fomi, ça c'est clair également, c'est assez avancé et à ce niveau. Et nous pensons que, en tout cas, prioriser les actions pour pouvoir, en en tout cas permettre à tous les partenaires, à tous les pays de beaucoup plus s'impliquer pour la mise de ces projets et nous pensons que cela est primordial. Donc, c'est pourquoi qu'à l'issue de la réunion que nous avons tenue à Lusaka en avril de l'année passée, et nous avons dressé une feuille de route. Il y a un certain nombre d'activités qu'il était question qu'on devrait mener. Donc, ces activités sont entre autres les actions. C'est l'action 1 visait donc la mobilisation et la concertation nationale et bilatérale des acteurs. Et le résultat attendu était donc autour donc, du projet mondial. Le résultat attendu, c'était l'accord entre les deux pays pour conduire l'étude de faisabilité. Et donc, voici entre autres tous les responsables. Donc, il y a là, c'est l'ABV, notre Dieu du bassin donc, de Volta, le GWP et la CEDEAO, bien entendu. Et nous a, à l'époque, on avait demandé un financement pour pouvoir effectivement mener à bien cette étude de faisabilité. Voilà un peu avec des recommandations. Voilà. Et l'action 2, c'était faire l'état des lieux et des projets PIDA en Afrique, c'est-à-dire le Noumbiel, Fomi, Kourbesi, Limiden. Donc, il s'agissait également d'arriver à faire un état et c'était, il était question qu'on organise, on essaie d'initier donc, une réunion, une rencontre où nous allons recueillir toutes les informations sur les pays concernés. Et il y avait des dates qui étaient prévues, mais nous avons dépassé, c'est des dates que nous devons effectivement remettre à jour. Et l'activité était programmée pour l'année, le deuxième trimestre de l'année 2020. Nous sommes toujours un peu en retard et il y a une fiche du collègue qu'on devra effectivement envoyer et on a, qui a été préparée et devra être envoyée. Mais nous ne l'avons pas encore fait. Nous pensons que c'est important de le faire voilà, pour avoir le point. Et la troisième action, c'était tenir un atelier de concertation sous-régional avec les porteurs du projet. Donc voilà un peu. Les activités que nous avons, la quatrième, c'est l'actualisation des TDR de l'étude de faisabilité du Louguel, et où effectivement quelque chose avait été fait et où nous avons demandé à la fin donc, de la semaine, nous avons fait une requête spéciale au niveau de ODA PIDA pour que véritablement ils nous accompagnent pour que nous puissions mener l'étude de faisabilité. Et l'action 4, c'était faire des marketing prioritaires pour mobiliser les financements nécessaires pour les études de faisabilité. Parce que nous savons que dans les différents projets, comme le Lumbiel, comme l'Ulmeden, il y a beaucoup de choses qui restent à faire, comme le Courvesi. Il y a des choses, il y a des études de faisabilité qui doivent être menées et où l'implication des pays est plus qu'indispensable. Donc, voilà un peu ce que notre feuille de route à l'époque. Et donc, comme perspective, il a été, à la suite donc, de la semaine donc, PIDA qui a eu lieu en Égypte, je crois que c'était en novembre, nous avons adressé un mail à M. Wahabou Ibra, et ainsi que, en tout cas, à PIDA, ODA PIDA, pour que véritablement ils puissent nous accompagner pour, en tout cas, faire avancer cette étude. Et donc, on a reçu de courant, j'allais dire mars-avril, un mail donc, de Wahabou qui nous a donné clairement, qui a dit qu'effectivement, ODA PIDA est disposé pour nous accompagner. Ils nous ont envoyé des fiches. Il y a trois fiches qu'ils nous ont envoyées. Et ce que nous avons fait rapidement au niveau donc, de l'autorité du bassin du Niger, c'est-à-dire qu'ils ont pris les choses en main. Nous avons travaillé à remplir ces fiches. Il était maintenant question qu'au niveau de la CEDEAO, nous puissions les envoyer. Et bien entendu, ce qui a été fait par l'autorité du bassin de la Volta, que nous puissions valider ça avec tous les partenaires, aussi bien au niveau des pays, les pays membres, aussi bien GWP. Et en tout cas, nous avons une équipe ici pour que véritablement, ces fiches en plus puissent être envoyées par la CEDEAO au niveau officiellement. Donc, nous sommes à cette étape et nous sommes en train de finaliser cette, nous avons finalisé cette fiche qui reste à peut-être se retrouver au niveau donc, de cette zone pour finaliser cette fiche et l'envoyer donc maintenant à Ibra Wahabou. Donc, voilà un peu. Et également, Nous allons effectivement poursuivre le plaidoyer pour les autres points de la feuille de route et voir comment des ressources pourront être dégagées pour nous appuyer et donc à la mise en œuvre de ces projets. Voilà rapidement ce que nous avions, très rapidement, succinctement sur donc le programme PAP 2 de PIDA. Je vous remercie.
Merci, Janvier. J'ajouterai tout simplement que ça, c'est l'état des lieux de ce qui était en cours.
Voilà.
Comme nous le savons tous, depuis hier, nous avons évoqué d'autres perspectives pour qu'on puisse avancer sur les conclusions, sur nos préoccupations et en prenant en compte les conclusions de la réunion qui s'est tenue le 14 de ce mois, à laquelle beaucoup d'entre nous n'avons pas pu participer, mais même nous avons eu le retour. Donc, nous allons voir très rapidement avec PIDA et les institutions sous-régionales et les pays comment avancer rapidement pour rattraper le retard accusé. Merci.
Thank you for the presentation. Mr. Krishna, can you just make 2-minute summary for the English speakers? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Lufla. So, I will maybe run through the slides. I hope you can all see the slides. Can you see the slides?
Yes.
Okay, please. Perfect. So this was the ECOWAS presentation. It's in three parts. The first one was a brief overview of the three ongoing projects, which are the Nubiel, multipurpose dam, the Fomi dam, and the aquifer system, Lule Meden aquifer system. So this is ongoing, and it shows the large number of countries involved. In some cases, you have two river basin authorities involved in the third project. So these are all the details given. I will just run, we won't have time to go in these details. So he explained about some of the constraints, and you can read the slides actually. All the slides, for your information, all these slides will be posted on the website after this webinar, so you can download and view quietly, look at it at leisure. And then the second part was on the roadmap, West African roadmap for PIDA projects. And there were four actions. The first one is mobilization of the countries and bilateral partners concerning the Nubiel project. The second one concerning the to have a status, état des lieux, donc a status on the PIDA projects, the four ongoing PIDA projects. The third action concerned the a roadmap, actually the actual roadmap for the preparation of new projects. And the fourth one was the marketing of, resource mobilization for feasibility studies for all these projects. And he also described the interaction going on. So ECOWAS has been in touch with AUDA NEPAD, Mr. Ibra, and they are in the process now of finalizing the documentation, the application forms, to obtain assistance for further feasibility studies for these water projects. I think that was all.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we now move on to the presentation from SADC.
Okay, thank you. I'll load it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, ECOWAS.
Thank you. Thank you.
SADC, you have the floor, please. Thank you.
Good day, everyone. Dumisani is my name, from SADC Secretariat. Presenting on the regional infrastructure projects earmarked for submission as part of PDAPAP 2. We can move to the next slide. Next slide, please.
Dr. Krishna, please, yeah. Next slide.
Yeah, yeah. Can you see the slide? So is it, I think there's an issue.
Yes, you can see the slide. Now we want the second slide.
No, actually, there's an issue. I need to maybe start this again because I think I'm not being able to show it in full screen. So I'll stop share. And I'll go here. Okay. Okay, can you see now?
Not okay. Yes, we can see.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, which
so
slide?
I can continue. Thank you very much. I can continue then.
Move yes, to please.
Move a slide back. Yes, that's the one. So starting by highlighting the enabling environment, which is the regional policy framework that supports this project implementation. We've got the SADC treaty, which emphasizes regional cooperation and regional integration. And then we've got the regional indicative strategic development plan, which prioritizes infrastructure development in SADC in support of regional integration and industrialization. We also have the regional industrialization strategy and roadmap 2063, which it ties well with the continental vision of the Africa we want. We also have a regional infrastructure development master plan. So we get this project being part of the master plan. Those become projects which already have a full regional ownership. So it articulates the regional infrastructure vision for the sector, but also specifically the water sector. We can move to the next slide, whereby we highlight the regional and continental relevance of this nature of projects, especially in the list that we're having already at the moment. Some of the projects contribute to the regional corridor development of regional and continental importance. Others support in regional industrial development. Others are from a WASH end, which is the WASH sector development for quickly urbanizing border towns, but not only border towns, but some cities of importance in some instances. Then we can move to the next slide on selection, which talks to this. Elaborates on the aspects I've just highlighted, which is the criteria. So the projects generally tend to be drawn for the regional infrastructure master plan, and the projects under consideration for development by regional and other partners, whereby we feel there's a bit of an appetite in terms of helping in future with development of such projects. We also, the other criterion, you find also projects of highest importance in line with the SADC industrialization strategy as presented earlier. Nexus approaches, like at the moment we've prioritized the WEF Nexus and then the special development corridors of importance. But also, we from time to time, like some of these projects are already in emphasizing that dimension. The new emerging regional priority programs, like the WEF Nexus is relatively new, but now with the WASH also, with the COVID implementation, the WASH projects have taken a reason in terms of priority, especially the nature of projects you'll be seeing. We've got a lot of WASH projects in the strategic borders of importance, which are aligned with the regional corridors of importance, like the North-South corridors. Let's go to the next slide to start seeing them, which is now the proposed list. In the list, I'm presenting 8 at the moment, but they are recently received because we asked member states to make some to submit. So we're continuing to receive them. The first 3, I'm highlighting them differently because they are already in the PIDA PUB database, PIDA PUB 2 database, as we speak. So I won't delve much into them, but quickly highlight them. The Soto Botswana Water Transfer Project, which involves the Soto South Africa in Botswana, and then the Madagascar Project, Antananarivo Urban Water Supply and Sanitation Project, which is relates to the Central Canal in the city. And then the Soto Highlands Phase 2, which is involves Lesotho in South Africa. It's a water transfer project, but also hydropower project. Then now the new projects have got Zambia, Angola, the Shangombo and Rivungu Canal project between these two countries. So it's a canal that connects these two countries. It's so much important to these countries, and we believe it's of regional significance. Also, it's a relatively advanced already in implementation, but it needs funds for really completion. It's relatively advanced on the Angolan side of the border. We can move to the next slide. Then we've got the one project in the I think is the Lobito corridor, the Kasumbalesa border, which is the water supply and sanitation border in the two border towns between Zambia and DRC. And the sixth one is the Chirundu cross border water supply and sanitation project, which is between Zambia and Zimbabwe. It's on the north south corridor. The first one stop border post area. We have in the region. So then we've got a Bay Bridge also in the north south corridor. Chirundu is between Zambia and Zimbabwe. Bay Bridge is now between South Africa and Zimbabwe. A tendency is that when you're talking about these corridors of importance in the region, especially north south corridor, you can't run away from Zambia and Zimbabwe participating. That's why you'll be seeing a bit more of them in some of the listing in here. And then we've got also Nakonde Tunduma cross-border water supply and sanitation project, which is now between Tanzania and Zambia. So these are a water supply and sanitation projects of importance in the region. We have got 2 other projects which have received recently, one from Namibia, another one from Madagascar. Could be the Namibian one could be addressing irrigation related, also a joint scheme between South Africa and Namibia. The Madagascar one would be on another project in the WASH space. Let's get to the moves to the next slide so that I come to an end. In conclusion, then you're seeing a list. This is an initial list. It's not an exhaustive list. We're probably going to get additional more projects. Maybe we have 10 at the moment. We might reach 15. I don't know. It depends on the incoming projects from member states. Like we have highlighted, we have seen this nature of projects addresses the dimensions of irrigation, hydropower, industrial development, and then the WASH type of projects. So that is the nature of projects we are having in the region. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Dumisani or Mr. Dumisani for that presentation. He has given us the enabling environment on the 4 frameworks from the SADC region on their water project, the selection criteria, and the proposed list of our priority projects, listed 8 of them and they still have two more, indicating the estimated cost the beneficiary states, and he has concluded that they still have more projects which they wish to submit. On this note, we'd like to say thank you. But Mr. Krishnan, can you quickly make a summary in French?
Yes, thank you, Lushula. Okay, donc je vais résumer très rapidement en fait cette présentation de notre collègue de la SADC. En fait, il a présenté d'abord l'environnement, le Regional Policy Framework, donc le cadre régulateur de la SADC en matière de l'eau. Ensuite, il a présenté en fait les critères de sélection qui sont utilisés, et c'est les deux critères majeurs utilisés par la SADC, c'est en fait le critère lié à la stratégie d'industrialisation de la SADC et ou le critère de développement de corridors spatiaux. Voilà les deux critères qui sont utilisés au niveau de la SADC pour établir la liste prioritaire de projets. Et ensuite, la liste que vous voyez là, et c'est la liste des quatre projets de l'eau, dans le secteur de l'eau, qui sont déjà en fait insérés sur le site PIDAPAP 2, pour tous ceux qui sont déjà enregistrés. Et pour ceux qui ne sont pas encore enregistrés, on vous invite à le faire. Vous allez voir les projets et commenter sur les projets. Et ensuite, ça, c'est les quatre projets additionnels qui sont en cours de validation interne pour être soumis à travers le site. Et il y a aussi deux autres projets, un à Madagascar et un en Namibie sur l'irrigation, qui sont en considération pour être soumis. Donc, au total, on pourrait avoir 10 projets, rien que pour la SADC, 10 projets dans le secteur de l'eau qui est pas mal. Alors, en conclusion, une liste de prioritaires, en fait, c'est comme je vous disais, ces 10 projets ont été proposés pour initier le dialogue, mais c'est une liste initiale, il y a peut-être d'autres projets qui vont suivre. Donc, voilà, c'est tout. Merci pour votre attention. Et back to you, Olushula. Olushula, back to you. I think you are muted. Olushula, you're muted. Please unmute. Olushula, can you hear me? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, now we can hear you. I think you are muted. Okay. I'm done. We can move to the next. Should we move to IGAD, to the IGAD presentation?
Yes,
should I load the IGAD? IGAD? Yeah. Is there somebody from IGAD? Do we have somebody from IGAD? Okay.
You are welcome.
Yeah, I'm here. Fred is here.
Yes. Johannes, please, can you mute your mic? Johannes, please mute your mic. Yes. Please mute your mic.
Fred is here.
Thank you. So, Engineer Fred, please, you're welcome. You have the floor, please.
Sorry.
Yeah, good afternoon, colleagues. My name is Fred Mwangu, and I'll take you to a brief presentation from the IGAD region. The next slide, please. Next slide.
Can you see the slides? I can see them. This is the first slide. This is the second slide. Which one? Is it the map or the write-up?
Yes,
Mr. Fred, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Do we on
my presentation is on a yeah, okay. You can hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you. Go on. Yeah, yeah. Do you want the map? Should I show them? This is the map.
Okay, thank you very much. My presentation will be very brief. Yeah, that is the map, but I'm on slide one, second slide. Bro, go back, please. Yeah, it's on a small basin called Siomaramara Kisi between Kenya and Uganda. We have where we had a small project for the two countries, Kenya and Uganda. But it is very interesting to know that the Siomaramara Kisi basin does not describe a simple hydrological basin, but rather a management label to refer to two adjacent basins shared by Kenya and Uganda. As you can see also in the statistics there, the figures, there are two small basins, but they are within the Nile Basin. Next one, and you can easily see very well on the map. You can move forward.
Yes, this is the map.
Yeah, if you can enlarge the map so that people can see it, is yeah, this is the map. And you can easily see that one of the rivers forms the boundary between Kenya and Uganda. And what we did was to create a joint working group between the two countries to actually come up with a prioritized project that could easily be implemented. And the issue here was not really to look at more so on water allocation, but mainly on issues related to regional cooperation, specifically benefits from the project. And therefore, the location of the project, whether it's in Kenya or Uganda, that did not matter much. Next slide. Yes, and therefore, using the what we formed as a joint working group, they had several sessions in Kenya and Uganda. And here we used something from a method from the IUCN called the Benefit Opportunity Assessment Tool, which I think I liked very much because people were not looking at the water allocation issues for the country, but maybe the opportunities and the benefits accrued from the project in different from whether it is located in Uganda or Kenya. And therefore, we were able to, using this method, to prioritize 12 projects from very many of them. And then what surprised me here was people were not saying, I want my country there. No, they were saying, we want this project because it will accrue these benefits to us, people who are on the border. Next one. The next slide, yes, this one, I don't know whether you can be able to see it. In fact, the 12 projects are even ranked. If you can see the on the right, they were ranked according to the importance or maybe benefits that they accrue to the two countries. What surprised me again, they did not care much whether the projects in Kenya or Uganda, but they were looking on the benefits. And therefore they ranked the 12, that is like a Malaba irrigation project. The costs are there, and down there I will be able to show you at what level where we at the level where we are in terms of whether we are ready for implementation or whether we are in the process of doing other things like feasibility studies. And also we have indicated costs that are involved and also the number of people or beneficiaries that will benefit out of the project. The Malaba irrigation is much of a full security thing, full security project for the two countries. And then the other one was again on water security, the second project. And the other one is multi-purpose, where there is a full security, water security issues like that up to the roof. In fact, given permission, I would like to upload some of these projects to the PIDA website for further discussions with the people in the leadership. Next one. There's the first one. Yeah, this one, you can easily see Luakaga hotspots. It is only in Uganda. but very good for the two countries. It is ready for implementation. Next one. Number two. Number two again is much on water resources management, more so on the water quality. It is in both countries, and we are at the feasibility study stage. Again, very close to be ready for implementation. Next one. The third one is again on water security. It is really in Kenya, but the benefits are for the two countries. And it is at the pre-feasibility stage. Next one. The next one is Angololo multi-purpose resource development, a huge dam, Angololo Dam, for multi-purpose. It is on both countries, $44 million needed, and it is at pre-feasibility stage. The fifth one is Malaba Irrigation, that was ranked very highly. And this one is more towards food security for the region. And again, it is at the border between Kenya and Uganda. And it is at identification stage. And the two groups, that is what we used, what we called, or what we formed as joint working group for this purpose, agreed. This is very important, and it can easily be ranked number one. Next one. The sixth one is Soloso catchment, again an issue to do with water resources management. Without water resources management, you don't go far when you want to really do issues of water resources development. Therefore, again here, we are looking at promoting actions on management of the headwaters in Kenya with a beneficial impact in Uganda on the other side. It is at pre-feasibility stage. I think it can be moved further again. Next one. The next one is Sio Sango, number seven. Number seven, Sio Sango multi-purpose project, again, a big dam. There is also irrigation infrastructure foreseen in it, watershed management, all these things. And it is really in Kenya, but the benefits are for the two countries. It is ready for implementation. Next one. The next one is Sio Ziteko, community-based wetland. It's also very important in terms of looking at the wetlands within the region. And it is at the border of the two countries, and it is ready for implementation. For now, I think, thank you very much for your kind attention.
Thank you, Engineer Fred Mwango from IGAD. Dr. Krishna, please, could you give about 2 minutes summary in French?
Yes, thank you. Merci, donc pour nos amis francophones, Monsieur Fred Mwango de IGAD a présenté les projets de IGAD, donc... Alors, je vais peut-être, ça c'est un projet en fait, l'esprit en fait, ce qu'il a essayé de nous dire, c'est qu'au sein de l'IGAD, il y a une prise de conscience en fait du bénéfice partagé de ce type de projet. Et voilà, il a donné cet exemple de Sio Malaba Malakisi Catchment Area et aussi il nous a expliqué comment à travers la méthodologie de liste pour établir la liste prioritaire, ce qu'ils ont observé, c'est en fait, ils ont pu établir une liste de 12 projets, voilà la liste des 12 projets, avec même un système de ranking, de priorisation de projets, de liste prioritaire. Et ce qui est revenu de de cet exercice, c'est que les pays ne sont pas tellement concernés par qui en fait chapeaute le projet, mais ils regardent plutôt les bénéfices communs qui découlent du projet. Donc ça, c'est très, très positif comme approche. Ensuite, il a décrit en fait dans les détails. Voilà, il a donné quelques exemples parmi ces 12 projets. Ça c'est le premier projet. Il y a des projets de gestion des eaux usées. Il y a des projets de sécurité d'approvisionnement de l'eau. Il y a des projets de usage multiple d'irrigation et hydroélectrique, barrage hydroélectrique, livestock, donc élevage et domestique, et aussi fisheries, donc aquaculture. Alors, ça, c'est un autre projet, mais là-bas, c'est concernant essentiellement l'irrigation entre le Kenya et l'Ouganda. Toloso Subcatchment, c'est un petit projet qui est à l'étape de pré-faisabilité. Et ensuite, il y a Siasongo Multipurpose, encore une fois, basé au Kenya, pour usage multiple, donc l'irrigation, gestion du bassin versant, watershed management, etc. Celui-là, c'est un wetland, c'est basé sur la gestion des, comment on appelle, les wetlands, donc les zones humides, okay, entre l'Ouganda et le Kenya. Ce projet est prêt pour l'implémentation. Donc voilà un exemple de ces projets, mais je vais peut-être interroger M. Fred sur la soumission de ces projets. So Fred, one question I have personally is how ready are you to input? I mean, my question, we haven't seen any, apart from the SADC projects on the website, we haven't seen any one of them. Are there any hurdles, or do you need some assistance? So what is preventing us from having all these projects on the website? Because as I explained earlier, actually yesterday we had this discussion with ECOWAS, the website, as I showed in last Thursday, includes a discussion forum. So as soon as your projects are on the website, the members will see them, and that can trigger a process. You can even use this as a validation process if you want to initiate discussions in these difficult times of lockdowns and work from home, etc. It's actually a tool. You could use the website as a tool. Doesn't mean that, for example, if at the last minute out of the 12 only members agree to submit only 10, that is not an issue, because the final validation always belongs to the REC. So I would strongly advise, actually invite you, and let us know, please let us know if you need help, assistance. We can assist you, help you to, if there are technical difficulties for inputting the projects. Thank you. I'll hand over to back.
Yeah,
to
Krishna, I think I'll need your help to upload this in the website. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
So thank you, Dr. Krishna, and thank you, Engineer Fred Wango. You and Dr. Krishna, you do a bilateral to upload the IGAD water projects on the IGAD water projects on the website. Thank you.
Yes.
So we'd like to find out right now if the representative of COMESA or UMA has any presentation before we open the floor for question and answer. Any representative from UMA or AMU or from COMESA that would like to make a presentation?
COMESA has no presentation to make. Thank you.
Thank you. What of EAC? Okay. What of UMA? Can you say that in French? Krishna. So I think, okay, yes.
Arushura.
Yes, please.
Yeah, EAC, you have no presentation.
EAC, you have the floor, please.
Thank you very much. For us, it's just to update you that we, as Elex, we did not participate in PIDA 1, phase 1. So we don't have presentation, but we have a priority areas for PIDA 2. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, EAC. Thank you, Dr. Kiarusi. And what of UMA? Krishna, can you do that in French? Okay, yes, Mr. Azar.
Oui, je pas entendu bien la question, s'il vous plaît. Vous pouvez répéter la question?
Oui, en fait, je vais répéter, M. Hassen. C'est Mme Oulufla demande, est-ce que Ouma, l'Union Maghreb Arabe, aurait une présentation à faire? Est-ce que quelqu'un est-ce que vous avez une présentation? Est-ce que vous voulez faire une présentation? Ou bien même parler, en fait. Si vous voulez dire quelques mots, ça vous pouvez le faire aussi, okay. Même s'il n'y a pas de présentation.
Il n'y a pas de souci. OK. Bonjour tout le monde.
Bonjour.
La région de l'Uma du Maghreb arabe est classée parmi les régions pauvres en termes de ressources en eau. Elle est située dans une zone climatique sèche et semi-sèche, avec un climat caractérisé par manque de pluies saisonnières et d'irrégularités. Les pluies sont abondantes. Elles abondantes dans les zones côtières et diminuent chaque fois que des régions vers le sud. Aussi, les pays de l'Uma, à l'instar du reste du monde, souffrent des phénomènes du changement climatique et le réchauffement climatique qui ont augmenté la sécheresse et les fluctuations des précipitations et des inondations fréquentes. Tout ça, faire face à ces défis, l'UMA a créé un conseil maghrébin ministériel chargé de l'eau et d'irrigation. Il est doté de deux comités techniques qui permettent de réunir les experts des secteurs de l'eau dans les pays de l'UMA dans des réunions périodique pour discuter des problèmes liés à ce secteur et de proposer des solutions adéquates. Malgré tout ça, il faut signaler que les pays de l'UMA ont réalisé beaucoup de progrès par la construction des barrages, par la construction des réseaux d'assainissement et de l'eau potable. Ils sont classés, les pays de l'UMA, il faut dire qu'ils sont classés dans les premiers rangs des pays qui ont réalisé les ODD et les objectifs de l'agenda africain en matière de changement en matière de l'accès à l'eau potable et la réalisation des réseaux. Pour les projets de PIDA, l'UMA a réalisé deux études par l'appui du PIDA et de la BAD. Deux études ont été construites concernant les eaux aquifères du SAS et du Ulimden. Ces études ont permis de proposer des projets concernant la pour aider les habitants, les populations des régions désertiques à exploiter l'eau de cette région de façon rationnelle et en utilisant l'énergie solaire. Et ces projets, l'UMA envisage de les présenter dans le projet PIDAPAP 2 avec la concertation avec le mécanisme de concertation. Il y a un mécanisme qui est chargé dans les trois pays maghrébins de ce bassin.
Donc, avec la consultation de ce mécanisme, l'UMA envisage de proposer des projets dans ce sens. Merci.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup. Dr. Krishna, please, can you give us a summary in French? In English?
Yes. Thank you, Lushula. Hello. So our colleague Hassan Bouti from AMU, Arab Maghreb Union, presented actually the situation in this REC. It's a REC which is a region actually which is heavily affected by climate change, and traditionally, historically, actually, it's a water stressed and water scarce region. So what they're seeing, what the initiative of AMBU has been to create actually a ministerial council with two technical committees to assist with the work on the water sector. And in spite of all these, I would say climatic and natural endowments in terms of water, AMU region is actually one of the most advanced in Africa in terms of meeting the sustainable development goals in water, related to water access. So which is impressive actually, because of with such scarce resources, they have very advanced water supply and sanitation systems. And they are in the process, with the assistance of African Development Bank, they have initiated two studies to look at two potential projects, which they intend to submit in the PIDA-PAP2 process. I think that summarizes the question, but une chose que je voudrais faire ressortir, Monsieur Hassan Bouti ou d'autres membres de UMA qui seraient connectés, c'est que nous avons prévu en fait deux sessions de formation, en fait à la demande de Younes, qui est votre un peu le représentant de UMA, de Audan EHPAD. On a prévu de faire ça après le jeûne du Ramadan, donc la première semaine de juin. Donc il y aura une session mardi, ce sera la session francophone, donc je crois que c'est mardi le 2. La première semaine de juin, le mardi ce sera francophone, le jeudi ce sera anglophone. Là, on va reprendre en fait toutes les questions, puisque vous étiez la seule région à ne pas avoir bénéficié d'une formation en face à face à cause de la pandémie. Donc, on va rattraper ça la première semaine de juin. Et là, j'espère que vous aurez tous les éléments. Mais même avant ça, si vous voyez que vous êtes prêt à soumettre les projets, pas besoin d'attendre la formation, vous pouvez le faire tout de suite. OK, thank you.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you. I would like to find out if there's a representative from ECAS in the webinar to make their presentation. Dr. Krishna, can you say that in French so that Desiree
will... Oui. Alors, on essaie de voir s'il y a un représentant de la CEAC, comme on avait demandé initialement. Personne n'avait répondu. Est-ce qu'il y a quelqu'un de la CEAC qui est connecté aujourd'hui? Bon, il me semble que non. Olushola, it seems we don't have anybody from ECAS, but what we are also planning, I'm in touch with Mr. Sangu, Guichard Sangu, and I've actually, we've asked him for a dedicated session for ECAS, for the members of ECAS. So maybe once we have that session, we can bring in the water dimension, since we don't see any. But that session would be French, would be a dedicated French session where we can take on board the ECAS members.
It's because he sent an email. Desiree sent an email, so that he'll be participating. So that's why I was asking in case he has a
present. But he hasn't replied. I think he's not connected.
Thank you. On this note, we'd like to open the floor just for 10 minutes, and then we go to the last two presentations. And after that, we have another interaction session. So right now, we'd like to open the floor for those that would like to have one or two questions. Maybe Shirley can read. How many questions do you have already? Shirley, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Madam Oyetola. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, sorry, I was having a little bit of a connection problem. So I'm not sure where I left off, but I have a question from Mure to Dr. Dumisan. He's asking, in the selection criteria of SADC projects, in your list of projects, I see that there are many projects involving more than two member states. This is commendable, but how do you resolve priority issues where two member states involved in two different transboundary projects that have different priority ranking for the projects? Madam Arushola, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. So I want to get the question very well.
It's from Mure. If Mure is in the call, maybe he can say it out loud if I'm not heard well.
Dr. Mure, please, can you raise your question on the floor? Thank you. Dr. Mure from SAGRAD, you have the floor.
Hear me?
Yes, please.
Okay. My question, I actually have two questions there. The first one was to the IGAD presenter, Engineer Fred, and the second one is for the SADC focal person. For Engineer Fred, I noticed that the list of projects he presented, it is only for Kenya and Uganda. And I was asking, is it only Kenya and Uganda that submitted transboundary water project in the whole of IGAD, or this is just, for example, he's showing us? I don't know why it's only for Kenya and Uganda. Then the question for Dr. Dumisani, he highlighted the selection criteria for SADC projects. And I found out that in the list of the projects he presented, there were many projects that cross across more than two member states. And I think, well, this is good avenue for integration. But my concern is actually in the final selection of this project. How do you handle cases where two different member states that are listed in two projects, but they have two different priority ranking? Assuming Zambia and Zimbabwe, they have two projects for hydroelectricity power and maybe another one for water transportation. And if Zimbabwe is ranking hydroelectricity higher than the water transport, so how do you resolve this and eventually agree on the projects to submit? Thanks.
Thank you. Before we call the two regs to respond, we'd like to know if there are other questions. I believe I saw a question from Madam Beatrice. Is she on the floor? Is she still around so she can ask a question? Or has it been attended to? Because it was like Adum was responding to you. Are you satisfied with the answer, Madam Beatrice? Okay. Is there any other question, Shirley, that you like to, that are in the chat?
Are there
Madam Orushola? Madam Orushola, I'm there.
Okay. Madam Beatrice, you have the floor, please.
Thank you. And thank you to all the presenters. Thank you, Orushola, for giving me this opportunity. Mure tried to respond to my question, but somehow I'm not satisfied. Because I understand PIDA is from the Commission and from NEPAD. And I'm wondering why there's an impasse between Egypt and Ethiopia. If the proposals are always vetted like this, where you put them on the website, then regions approve this whole process. Why is there an impasse, and why don't we hear guidance from infrastructure and energy, and maybe PIDA or AUDA on this impasse and how to resolve it. If transboundary water usage is going to create conflicts, then why do we need to go through this process, and why do we need in any case to have infrastructure that crosses boundaries instead of building bridges? It's bringing confusion. So I'd like to know how, if you do transboundary projects like this, how you overcome certain challenges, especially like the conflict that is going on between Ethiopia and Egypt.
Thank you, Madam Beatrice. Shirley, can you give us more questions so that about maybe four or five more questions so that then we can call the different presenters to respond? Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Jerry Alassani, you have a raised hand, please. You have the floor.
Oui, merci. Je voudrais tout simplement demander à, je crois que c'est Krishna qui a dit cela, si pour les sessions qui sont envisagées pour l'UMA et l'Afrique centrale, je crois, si elles se feront en présentiel ou en ligne. Si c'est en ligne, est-ce que les représentants d'autres régions qui le souhaitent pourraient y prendre part? Merci.
Oui, merci pour la question, Jerry. En fait, à ce stade, à ce jour-là, tout
est... Interprète, Dr. Krishna, interprète what he has said first before responding. And it's a time for response. Would respond at the same time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Actually, there's a question from Mr. Jerry about whether the sessions for UMA and... ECAS will be online or face-to-face. Actually, as I said earlier, at this stage, please, could you please mute your mic, please, when you're not those who have joined. Yeah. So at this stage, everything, all sessions are online because of the travel bans and the... restrictions on airspace not being open. The only option for communication at this stage and in the foreseeable future will be online. So all these sessions are planned online. The second question was whether the sessions are open to other members. It depends. Actually, yes. For example, for the UMA sessions, English and French, since it will be mostly be focused on training. Yes, we will open it to anybody who wants to catch up, because there were some countries like Senegal, Burkina, etc. I couldn't attend the Abuja session, for example, who could benefit from the French UMA session. But then the dedicated regional sessions, like yesterday, for example, the ECOWAS session was essentially ECOWAS members, because a lot of the discussions are between deep discussions and projects between the REC and the member state. So, of course, any member is free to attend, because the links are always posted on the website. You can always connect, nobody prevents, but then it may not be very useful, because it's a very, unless you want to hear the discussions between the RECs and the member states, by all means, yes, you are invited, you are open, but we do not specifically invite everybody to these regional sessions between the RECs and the member states. We tend to focus on the RECs and the relevant member states. Alors, je vais répondre en français.
Krishna.
Yes, go on.
Please also mention that there is an English session for Egypt. So other English countries can join in.
Yes, I said, on the first day, the first week of June, the first day session will be in English, where any English speaking countries could also join. Yeah, thank you for this, Abdou. Alors, je vais résumer en français ce que la question et la réponse de Monsieur Jerry. La question de Monsieur Jerry et la réponse. Alors, la question, c'était est-ce que les sessions prévues pour Ouma sont ouvertes aux autres membres? Oui. Donc, la session du mardi en français va être ouverte à tout le monde. On va inviter tout le monde pour ceux qui n'ont pas pu, comme le Sénégal et le Burkina, qui ont raté les séances en face à face. De même, la session du jeudi sera en anglais. Donc, tous les membres anglophones seront invités. Ensuite, la question, c'était est-ce que les membres pour les sessions régionales, comme celle qu'on a eue hier pour la CDAO, est-ce que tout le monde est invité? Ben, en principe, non. On pourrait inviter tout le monde, mais les discussions sont tellement focus, sont tellement dédiées entre les CER et les membres que ça n'aurait peut-être pas... Ça n'intéresserait pas forcément tout le monde. Donc, mais vous êtes libre à vous rejoindre. Hein. Les liens Zoom sont toujours postés sur le site. Tous ceux qui sont enregistrés ont accès. Donc, vous pouvez toujours aller sur le site et joindre à n'importe quel webinaire qui vous intéresse, même si l'invitation n'a pas été envoyée spécifiquement parce que c'est régional. Voilà.
Merci. Thank you, Dr. Krishna. Mr. Yakuba has raised his hand. Yes, please, you have the floor. Just 1 minute. Mr. Yakuba has a question before we quickly call on Igad and Sadak to respond.
Yeah, very quickly. I would like to thank the presenters. I think this is very wonderful. Here is Yakuba from the African Union Commission. And so I would like also to add the quotes from this to as soon as possible, post those PIDAPAP2 websites so that discussion can start around them. I have a very small question for my colleague from IGA. And I just remarked that most of the project, if not all of the projects, are only involving Kenya and Uganda. Is there that... Those are the only two countries who have resources, or you are also working on possibility of bringing other countries. Yeah. So maybe lastly, just to comment on the on other country for some regional. Yes, the link will be available, but the meeting is regional for one region. You are from another country, you are not an observer. The main discussion has a.
Hello?
Hello?
Robert Desoissy from VBA, Ouagadougou.
Yes. Can you just hold on 1 minute? Mr. Yakuba was on the floor. Just let him finish. Then Robert, you come in. Mr. Yakuba, have you finished your question? Or we lost him? Okay. Robert, you have the floor, followed by Mr. Khalil.
Okay. Merci, Madame Olushola. C'est juste pour faire un petit commentaire en complément de la présentation de ECOWAS de M. Djeri au sujet du barrage de Noumbiel. Je voudrais dire et insister là-dessus que le barrage de Noumbiel reste une opportunité et sera un outil s'il est réalisé, qui viendra renforcer la coopération au sein de ce bassin drainé par le fleuve Volta, ses affluents et sous-affluents. Je voudrais mentionner que depuis 2007, nos États ont signé la convention portant création de cette institution de gestion de toutes les ressources de ce bassin. Histoire d'aller vers une gestion intégrée de ces ressources pour éviter les conflits d'usage. De cette part, oui, bien sûr, le Burkina, le Ghana ont fait un pas beaucoup de concertations déjà autour de